We continue our series, Ancient Faith. In this series, we get to identify with people who are listed in the Hall of Faith and learn from them in the process. Please join me at Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. I am reading from the New International Version, and it reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." The working definition of faith that I will use as we move forward today is hearing, believing, and acting on God's promises. If you want to do it in one phrase, it's taking God at His word. The ancients were commended for taking God at His word. And I want to speak to you today very simply from the topic, trusting God. Trusting God. So the person we're going to highlight this morning, we'll find him in verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter number 11, and it is Joseph. It says, "By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones." Notice in that verse that Joseph trusted God when he was about to experience death. I can't help but conclude that what Joseph discovered in life had a direct correlation on his perspective at the time of his death. In life, Joseph experienced blessings, and Joseph also experienced battles. I am so thrilled about Joseph because my early view on blessings and battles was that they were separate. As a matter of fact, when I was following Christ early in my journey with Him, and someone would ask me, "How is your day? How are you doing?" There would be times when I would say, "Well, I'm in a season of blessings." And then if there were times when I was facing a lot of struggles and a lot of difficulties and someone asked me, "How you doing? How's your day going?" I would say, "I'm in a season of battles." See, I mistakenly separated blessings and battles. In fact, in my mind, I thought blessings and battles were mutually exclusive. I thought that in times of blessings, that means you're not having any battles. And in times of battles, that means you're not experiencing blessings. But see, Joseph's faith was battle-tested in life, and it shaped his perspective at the time of his death. I want you to notice what Joseph did. Joseph trusted God, and he trusted God's promise. Come with me to Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 22. It reads, "Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw a third generation of Ephraim's children, also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees." Well, if I were to script the end of my life, I'd like to script it something like this, is that I'm at a ripe old age, and I've seen multiple generations of my children's children, and those that are still being born are laying there on my knees. But I want you to notice that Joseph does not focus on the length of his life, and he does not focus us on the warmth of his family that he was able to experience. Joseph instead, in verse number 24, does this. It says, then Joseph said to his brothers, watch it, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph focused on the promise of God, and he wanted to make sure that in his leaving, that those that were left behind would understand that they could trust God and they could trust God's promises. Look at what he did in verse 25. It said, and Joseph made the Israelites swear on oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. Because God had made a promise to Abraham that had been passed down to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then to Joseph. And Joseph, at the end of his life, is saying, this promise does not end with me. I want you to understand that God is faithful to his promise. See, Joseph knew that God would come to their aid because God had come to his aid in the battles of his life. Even when our life in this world ends, Joseph is telling them, God is still alive. And he is still shaping the future with the power of his promise. May I share with you, just in case you might be wondering, God is not dead. Don't let anybody fool you. Others die, but God is not dead. The same God that was in charge when Joseph walked this earth is still in charge now. The same God in ancient times is God in modern times. God is not dead. See, I have to ask us a question. I ask myself a question. Look in the mirror, and I'll just extend it to you. What are our words and actions saying to others about our confidence in God's promises? Joseph wanted to make sure that his words and his actions left those who would still be living when he left this life, knowing that they could trust God's promises. See, Joseph knew he could trust God's promises because he had experienced God's presence. Let's get reacquainted with Joseph in Genesis chapter number 37. His father, Jacob, who's also known as Israel, loved him more than any of his other sons. His father, Jacob, put his favoritism on display by providing Joseph a multicolored coat. His brothers hated him. And I am certainly not giving Jacob a pass on favoritism with his children, because I know it was problematic in ancient times, and I know it's problematic in modern times. But for those of you who are listening to me, wherever you are, understand this. Whether you are most loved in your family or least loved in your family, you are loved as much as anyone else by God himself. God loves you. Because the word tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only unique son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Make no mistake, those who are most loved and those who are least loved by the world matter to God. You matter to God. You may feel like you don't matter to anyone else. There may not be anyone in your life right now that's encouraging you, that's paying attention to you, that's walking alongside of you. But understand this, you matter to God. Genesis 37 and 5 says that Joseph had a dream. Now understand this, dreams in ancient times, they were not the meaningless nocturnal flashes that we're most familiar with in modern times. Dreams often had meaning. God used dreams to give people a glimpse of the future. And in this case, Joseph's case, he was giving Joseph a glimpse of the meaning and the purpose for his life. His dreams foretold his future and showed how God's involvement would shape his life and how God's involvement would shape the lives of others. Joseph told his brothers about the dreams, and it says there in verse 5, they hated him even more. Something we can learn from Joseph's life. See, even with dreams, the purpose and meaning for our lives from God, there's still going to be difficulties. Would you notice that between Joseph's dreams and Joseph's destiny, there were plenty of difficulties? His dreams were blessings, but Joseph still had battles. You will have blessings. We are experiencing blessings. But that does not mean that we are exempt from battles. The rest of Genesis 37, we note that Joseph was in such a serious battle that his brothers wanted to kill him. Instead of killing him, they threw him into a pit or a cistern, and they sold him to a group of travelers that were on their way to Egypt. Now, God came to his aid that when they threw him into the pit or the cistern, that there was no water in it. And God also came to Joseph's aid to get him out of the pit. But notice, Joseph was blessed to experience the battle of being sold, although he was experiencing the blessing of coming out of the pit. He was experiencing blessings, but he also experienced battles. Genesis 39, 1 and 2 says this, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. But watch this in verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he prospered. He experienced God's presence. And Joseph lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Imagine that. It wasn't just any house. He's living in a house of a high-ranking official. See, Joseph not only experienced the blessing of living in his Egyptian master's house, he was put in charge of the entire household. What a blessing. His Egyptian master said, I won't even take notice of anything in the household, Joseph. You take care of it. Can you sense the amazing blessing? But even in that blessing, Joseph was not exempt from a battle, because Potiphar's wife lived in the house. And the rest of Genesis 39 tells us that she took notice of Joseph, and she pressed on Joseph to go to bed with him multiple times, And on one occasion, she decided she was going to force herself on Joseph and grabbed him. And Joseph was so intent on being true to God and respecting Potiphar, his employer, he ran and he left his outer garment. Potiphar's wife used the outer garment to say to Potiphar, Joseph came in to take advantage of me, and here's the proof. Here is his outer garment. Potiphar was angry. The man who had blessed him so immeasurably to be over his entire household now was so angry at Joseph that he was gonna throw him in prison. Genesis 39 says, Joseph's 39, 20 and 21 says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. There it is again. Well, one of the things that Joseph learned in his life that he's sharing with us and hoping that we'll learn today is that pits and prisons can be a part of life, but neither can keep out the presence of Almighty God. We may not be in a pit or a physical prison like Joseph was. Some of us may be. But many of us may also experience prisons of health issues, financial or relationship issues. And Joseph goes to jail not for doing the wrong thing. He goes to prison for doing the right thing. But I want us to remember that sometimes personal failure can throw us into mental or emotional pits and prisons. Because here's the deal. We don't always get it right. Well, maybe you do. I don't always get it right. And we can find ourselves in a pit and in a prison of mental or emotional struggle if we don't give it over to God. Oh, hear me today. Your failure or your current struggle does not have to be the final chapter in your life. Aren't you glad about it? God still has meaning and purpose for your life. And Christ Jesus is available to us to be present with us. And he's saying to us today as we fast forward, you don't have to do battle alone. Jesus himself is willing to be present with you. And he's willing to have those who follow him to walk alongside of you even in your most difficult times of your life. You, my brother, you, my sister, you don't have to do battle alone. The presence of the Lord is available to you. Oh, but there's more good news. Where God is present, there is provision. Look at Genesis 39 and 22 and 23 with me. It said, the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. It says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. And look at that last part again. And gave him success in whatever he did. God made provision for Joseph to have success even in the prison. Even in your battles. God is willing and able to bless you. Even in your battles, God is willing and able to supply what you need. Joseph is in prison and God provides. In Genesis chapter number 40, notice this, that there's a cupbearer and a baker who served the king of Egypt, that they were in the same prison. They had dreams on the same night. The dreams had meaning. And Joseph noticed they were disheartened because he's now serving those in the prison. And he noticed, why are you so disheartened? And they said, we had these dreams and we don't know what to make of them. So Joseph says, interpretations belong to God. So he was quick to trust and credit God. He's told the cupbearer that he would be restored to his position in 3 days. And in verse 14, Joseph asked him to please remember me when you're restored to the king of Egypt. I'm not here because I did anything wrong. I'm here because I made the right decision. I don't belong here. When you get restored to your position, please, sir, remember me. Well, unfortunately, this cupbearer didn't remember Joseph initially. In fact, Genesis 41 tells us that 2 years passed and Joseph is still in prison. I don't know. Maybe you've had a friend or a family member who's forgotten about you, maybe disowned you, and you can feel the weight of Joseph. I'm trying to imagine the pain, the weight in that prison. Feel that weight of Joseph, languishing, as it were, for 2 more years. When he asked the person to remember him. But God came to his aid. In Genesis 41, the Pharaoh had dreams. And the Pharaoh was looking for someone to interpret those dreams. And all of a sudden, a light came on with a cupbearer and said, wait a minute, I remember. It's been a while, but when you threw me in prison, I remember this guy that was in prison with me. I had a dream. He interpreted the dream and it came out just like what he said. Why don't you go get him and see if he can help you? So Pharaoh called on Joseph and said, I understand, Joseph, you can interpret dreams. I love how Joseph did this in Genesis 41 and 16. Joseph says, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. I love Joseph's statement because what it says to me is even when we can't, we can trust that God will. The greater the problem, the greater the opportunity we have to trust God. And as followers of Christ, we're not limited to our own strength. We're not limited to our own power. We're not limited to our own ability. That's why Apostle Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, Christ as God's provision is not only with us, he is alive in us. I'm gonna do these next chapters with a snap of the finger. In chapters 41 through 49, Joseph realizes the dream God gave him and the dream begins to now come into fruition, and Pharaoh tells him the dreams, and so he asks, can we find anyone like this man on whom the Spirit of God is upon? Joseph at this time is 30 years old. He enters the service of Pharaoh. Joseph was placed in charge as the second most powerful person in Egypt. There were 7 years of abundance, just as the dreams were indicating, and there were 7 years of famine. Among the many people that came to Egypt to survive the famine were Joseph's brothers, and eventually his father was also brought to Egypt. God met their need for survival through Joseph. Fast forward, know this, God meets our need through Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, hear me today. God is actively providing for us so we can overcome evil with good. Joseph's father dies, and his brothers then begin to tell Joseph. Now, you know, before dad died, he said, you needed to treat us right. Before dad died, he said, you need to take care of us. They were concerned that Joseph was gonna take revenge on them because of the ugliness and the evil they did to him. They were concerned this man who was second in power in Egypt, who could basically just say what he wanted to have done and have it done. They were concerned that he was going to take vengeance on them. But again, I like what Joseph did. In Genesis 50, 19 and 20, Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Joseph basically was saying, am I in the place to execute vengeance or revenge? He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see what Joseph did? Joseph forgives his brothers. But if you go on in the verses, he not only forgives them, he goes even further than that. Joseph commits to taking care of them, and not only taking care of them, Joseph commits to taking care of their families. These were the guys who threw him in a pit. These were the guys that sold him into slavery. These were the guys that were the reason, that was some the pain that Joseph experienced. And Joseph says, here's what I'm gonna do for you. What you did was wrong, but I'm gonna forgive you. And my forgiveness is gonna be so sure that I'm gonna take care of you. And not just you, I'm gonna take care of your family. See, Joseph understood something that Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, and that is, in everything, God is working for our good. I want you to know that God's promises are valid in death, and they are valid in life. We have his promises, we have his presence, and we have God's provision. Please remember this statement. By faith, we can trust God in every life situation and circumstances, and at the time of our death, knowing he provides what no one else can. In life, God never failed Joseph. So in death, Joseph trusted God and his promises. Listen, through the death and resurrection of Christ, God did what no one else could do for us. And I want to share with you as I come to a close that God has already made us overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've heard this before, but if you haven't, hear it today. We're not battling for victory. We are battling from victory. Jesus has already won. Can I just use Chain and Shane's lyric? They said, I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Lord, I don't know or understand sometimes what you're doing, but I do know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. What a blessing. An amazing blessing that God has already enabled us to be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that does not mean we are exempt from battles. So whatever battle we're experiencing right now, it is a battle that Christ Jesus has already won. Would you give God a hand clap of praise? At this time, I invite our prayer team members in all of our locations to please come to the front. They will be here to pray with you and pray for you. And listen, it is a privilege to take your needs and your prayers to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us. We thank you for all the blessings you showered down upon us. But Lord, we also thank you even in the battles. We're asking you, Lord, would you please lead us to greater love and compassion for those around us as we trust your promises. Lord, as we experience your presence and as we benefit from your provision in even the most difficult battles in our life. It is in the mighty and miraculous name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.